Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
I called Elizabeth Rosenthal over at Kaiser Health to try and explain this to us. She is the editor-in-chief at Kaiser Health News. Elizabeth, as always, thank you for your time. How are you today?
Good, thanks. Thanks for having me again.
Okay, do I understand correctly the mandate, as soon as this thing is signed, I guess that's when it's official, in January when it goes into effect, I will no longer be penalized for not purchasing health care, right?
Well, the individual mandate repeal goes into effect in 2019, so there's actually a year of grace period. So,
or maybe the opposite of grace. In other words,
or the opposite of grace.
I will still have to buy it or pay a penalty if I don't through 18.
Right, right. So, you know, I think, of course, the individual mandate was a component of Obamacare. In fact, it was not something that President Obama himself was very adamant about. What was much more important to him and what he supported was the idea that no one should be denied insurance because of pre-existing conditions. And the mandate kind of followed off of that, because to make that work financially, you have to have young people who might be tempted to try and go without insurance in the pool. So by pulling the mandate, you know, in many ways, the government has created a problem for themselves, because they're still, as it stands now, going to have to make sure that insurers take everyone with pre-existing conditions. And if you let people opt out, it's going to be harder to afford that. So we may have more people getting subsidies. So anyway, the bottom line with this is repealing the individual mandate, we are not sure how that will affect the markets. Because, think of it another way, the mandate was the penalty for not buying health insurance was in the hundreds of dollars. The cost of health insurance in our country right now is in the tens of thousands of dollars for people. So it's not clear how much that mandate and that penalty influenced people's buying decisions. If people weren't buying insurance, it was probably not influenced by, well, or buying insurance. It wasn't because, oh, we're afraid of this $500 penalty. It was because they felt they needed it. And if people weren't buying, they weren't put off by the penalty. It was because the cost was tens of thousands of dollars.
I remember some people saying if you were going to tweak Obamacare, you would have increased the penalty, made it more onerous.
Right. If the penalty had been, you know, in the thousands of dollars, you could say, well, taking it away would really, really change the market. As it was, the penalty was pretty minimal. So it's not really clear that it had much influence on buying decisions anyway. That doesn't mean it's a good thing to repeal it, because now we're going to find out how important was that in real time, and it will be playing out on people's lives. So there will be a cost, but I think most people think it won't be drastically changing the market.
Okay, well, I'm glad to hear you talking like this. A year of grace or anti-grace period, and B, maybe not as problematic for Obamacare, because it wasn't generating that much money anyway. But I've seen 3 to 10 million people might now not be in the exchange. Are you estimating numbers like that?
Well, I think it depends. That's where we will see, you know, was that penalty a driver for those people? Will they say, I'm going to drop insurance now that I don't have to pay the penalty?
Yeah.
My suspicion is most people are kind of thinking they really need insurance and they're really going to try and have it.
Sure.
And this may backfire on the Republicans, because if those people stay in and they can't afford it and we still have those individual subsidies, the government may find itself paying more to get those people insured, right? So this is one of those, like, wow, you remove one piece of a puzzle and you see how the rest rearranges itself. And, you know, I don't think anyone knows the answer for sure. But what we've seen as the GOP has tried to pull different pieces of the ACA or Obamacare is that it's pretty resilient. You know, it's been damaged, perhaps, but it people have realized the value of those exchanges of having insurance, and so kind of chipping away at it has not been as kind of disastrous as maybe the intention was or as people have worried.
Well, do you think Obamacare is good even as it is now?
It's better than having nothing, which is what, you know, I think Obamacare from the start was a compromise bill. We all knew that. The president, President Obama knew that. And it did, I will repeat forever and ever that it did some really important things. It guaranteed people with pre-existing conditions health insurance at a reasonable price, and that remains kind of engraved into all of our consciousness and into the law. So that alone, it removed lifetime caps from insurance, which meant that people with chronic diseases wouldn't max out.
Yeah.
And it kind of helped everyone think about insurance as something, as a public good that we should try to achieve. So, you know, it had plenty of warts. It didn't make health care affordable, you know, which is what the next step, whatever kind of system we deal with. And it was a big problem in terms of selling it, because after all, it was called the Affordable Care Act.
Yeah. Okay,
but
hold on.
But it did do some really important things.
Rick has a question for you, and I guess this is kind of on people's minds. Rick, you're on WGN. What did you want to say?
Hello, John. I'm very honored to be able to join your program today.
Thank you, sir.
My question has to do with people who opt out under when the new rules kick in, for people who opt out and say, I don't want insurance, and they forego this hundreds of dollars of expense to potentially risk tens of thousands of dollars risk. What happens if they do have an ultimate medical emergency that costs $10,000? Will the rest of us still have to kind of pay for that through subsidies?
Right. They're not going to have insurance. They're not going to be in a hospital, an emergency room, or they're going to get diagnosed with cancer or something, but they don't have insurance. They said, hey, no penalty. I won't even buy insurance. Ha! What happens now, Elizabeth, to those people?
Well, they are putting themselves in a very vulnerable and dangerous position, because they will go back. I think, you know, we might have talked about previously a woman in my book who was uninsured just before Obamacare, was otherwise healthy, and suddenly had a brain aneurysm. The hospital, if you are uninsured, has to treat you at the beginning. They have to treat you in the emergency room, but they don't have to give you that follow-up care. And she needed $350,000 of care, of surgery, of rehab. And the hospital went after her and her house and her kids' college savings account. So, you know, if you make that choice, which is a really hard choice now with insurance being so expensive, if you're tempted to say, you know, the penalty's gone and I can't afford, you know, the insurance, you know, it's a risky decision. And I understand that it's a fraught decision, because everything in our health system, including insurance, is so very expensive.
But we think
the answer, people just can't afford it.
We think this is what happens, Elizabeth, that you go to the emergency room, you're diagnosed with cancer, and the emergency room or the cancer treatment is going to cost $300,000, and the hospital can't turn you away. Certainly in the emergency room, they're going to treat you. And if you don't have insurance, then all of us pick up that tab. But for some sort of long-term care, would those people not get care because they don't have insurance and can't afford it? Or would they get care and the hospital charges all of the rest of us for the balance?
No, they will get their emergency room care through EMTALA, which is a public service, but they will be billed for all the rest of their care. And unless you have no assets, zero assets, the hospital will go after you.
Huh.
They will go after poor people. They will go after people who have no money.
As maybe they should. I mean,
I don't.
And none of us likes that.
No.
But if you don't have insurance, you big dummy. And by the way, you big dummy. Maybe you're. It's the difference between insurance and groceries. So then you're buying groceries instead of insurance. You're not a big dummy. You're just in a bad place. I appreciate that, but that's not who we're talking about here. Although maybe we should talk about those people as well. Now, that's a hell of a predicament, isn't it?
It is a predicament. I have one person who said, you know, I can't buy insurance because it's a choice between paying my kids' college tuition at a state college and buying insurance for my family of four, which is costing $24,000.
But Obamacare did not make that insurance affordable for them. And it's going to get more expensive now. But I mean, you know, all of this lovely Obamacare, people still couldn't afford. My buddy was showing me what he's going to pay per month. I was flabbergasted.
This was the flaw of Obamacare, that it helped many people buy insurance. It expanded Medicaid to many people. For low-income people, it opened up many insurance subsidies. But there was a kind of swath of our population, solidly middle-class people who made too much to qualify for subsidies, but too little to really be to be affording this kind of money, and they are, boy, are they stuck right now.
My time is up. Elizabeth Rosenthal is the editor-in-chief at Kaiser Health News. She is also the author of a book that is fascinating, An American Sickness, How Healthcare Became Big Business and How You Can Take It Back. You got to write an update on that, Elizabeth. Are you working on that, a second edition?
I did an update, and the paperback will be coming out in March, but I did do a forward. But this environment in healthcare is changing so quickly, I'll probably have to do an update to the update in a couple of months.
I'm going to ask you to come on again with us soon. Thanks for your time, Elizabeth.
Thank you so much.